Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. That's our scripture for today. Give us today our daily bread. And we need, what I want us to get solidified into our heads is we need to remember that this here is an outline. Jesus is not telling us to pray this prayer and that's it. Jesus is not saying, just keep saying these words over and over again throughout the ages on a daily basis. Instead, Jesus is saying, pray like this. I mean, Jesus starts off this scripture, what we know of as the Our Father, by saying, this then is how you should pray. Or as the ESV puts it, a better version. And for those of you trying to find me, it's Matthew 6. I think I'm on 11 today. Or as the ESV puts it, pray then like this. Jesus was empowering us here to go straight to our heavenly daddy and talk with him. And my hope is that during this series in Lent, my hope is to help you reconnect with God. By the way, every disciple's job is to help people reconnect with God. Last week was fun, and it looks like I got the same thing going on this week, and so she's going to be mad at me later. But last week was really cool. Karen was able to sit in here because Nate went to the 2 and 3-year-old class. And I think that this is the first time since Nate was born that Karen has been able to be in here sitting and listening. Don't you just love children's church? I know that there are people all over, and there are people here probably who will say, but we didn't need it back then. Kids just sat with us in the sanctuary. And if you are one of those parents that had your kids sitting with you in the sanctuary, do you remember how hard it was to keep your kid quiet? Especially one of those kids who are like under 5 years of age? I grew up in the Catholic Church. Kids were in church, and constantly they were told, shh. My mom or my dad, before he left, would be holding my hand, and if I started making a noise, it was like scrunched, and I knew that meant to stop talking. Having kids in church isn't easy. I don't mind it, but it's stressful for the parents who are having to deal with their kids, and most of the time, for those who have little kids in church or who had little kids in church, let's be honest with ourselves. You weren't able to listen to the sermon, let alone focus on what God was trying to tell you through that sermon. It's why children's church is a blessing. Not only do parents get the time and the opportunity to sit and reflect on what God has in store for them, but it also connects kids with the Lord. They get a chance, thanks to our wonderful teachers here, to be blessed in an atmosphere where it is easier for them to learn about how great our God is. So I would like to thank all those who feel called to be teachers. I think you are amazing, and I can't thank you enough, because what you're doing is you're pointing our kids to what the Lord has in store. Okay, but back to my commercials over. Karen was able to stay in here last week, and I asked her a question when I got home. It's one that I like to ask her, but since she's been gone for the last 2 years, I asked the question, what was wrong with today's sermon? I want input. It was either that or something close to that. Having a Bible scholar in your house is an amazing thing. She can definitely show me a thing or two about the scriptures, especially the Old Testament. Another commercial. That's why, guys, hear me when I say this. We really need to listen when our wives talk. We need to pay attention because God uses them on a daily basis. They are our helpmates. And it is evident in America that men don't get that. Men don't listen to their wives. They don't seek their wives an input. Okay, commercial's over. So I asked this question to Karen, what was wrong with my sermon? And she responded, well, you told us what the kingdom of God doesn't look like. What does the kingdom of God look like? And you know what? She's right. Last week, I talked a lot about what the kingdom of God doesn't look like. I said, stop acting like peasants and start acting like sons and daughters of the true king. I said, we should throw out the concept that the church is where I'm supposed to be fed, and the rest of my week, I go on living like everyone else. We need to overcome this horrible mentality that pastors and leaders are the only ones who are supposed to teach, pray, and do visits of any kind. And we need to realize that those who are followers of Christ, those who are truly disciples, we're called to build one another up. We're called to use the gifts that the Lord has given us for the kingdom of the Lord. Because if we aren't using the gifts that he has given us, then the body of Christ is not working to its full potential. So I talked a lot last week about what the kingdom of God looked like and how the American church has gotten sucked into what the church isn't supposed to be. But what does the kingdom of God look like? Well, I think there are three main ways that we are called to act like sons and daughters of the true King. We recognize that God provides for his children on a daily basis. We realize that God reconciles himself to his children while also calling us to go out and reconcile the lost to the Lord. And we walk in faith knowing that God will protect his children. If you remember the rest of the Lord's Prayer, what it looks like to be in the kingdom orientation falls in step with the rest of this prayer. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Remember, Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. And what he is getting at right here in the Our Father is just that this is an outline for you to use, and it starts with Our Father in heaven. As I said 2 weeks ago, you can't even move on to the concept of hallowed be thy name, let alone thy kingdom come, thy will be done, without understanding how much your heavenly Father loves you. Every step after that is impossible unless you get how much he loves you. And it is once you begin to understand this love God has for you, which, by the way, can only happen if the Spirit is in you. But once you understand how much God truly loves you, then you realize that God is worth all of our glory, all of our honor, and all of our praise. And then you realize the next step. God is worth our whole beings. And we're supposed to act like that, and we're supposed to live out our lives, with this concept of God in charge of everything I do. And that is how we go about seeking the kingdom. That's how we go about bringing the kingdom to heaven as it is, or bringing the kingdom to earth as it is in heaven, by following him. We do it. We give him ourselves at all times. We take on the mentality of sons and daughters of the King, and we allow God to use us to bring about his will on earth, instead of acting like peasants who want to be fed in order to stay loyal to a king. So the question I asked last week is, are you a peasant? Let me throw it at you a different way. Are you acting like a peasant? Do you think this 1 hour a week is going to fill you up? Do you think the pastor and the worship team are supposed to feed you? Or do you want to glorify God in everything you do when you find all your sustenance in the Lord? If you are not participating in the body of Christ, if you're not building your brothers and sisters up in the Lord, then you are not being fed. I'm going to tell you that right now. Scriptures say it. Because either God is not using you if you're not acting in part of the body. God is not using you, or you are ignoring God altogether. And honestly, I don't know which one is worse. Most people who go to church want the pastor and the worship team to feed them. Yet they do very little throughout the week when it comes to communing with God, and they spend even less time trying to bring about God's kingdom throughout the week. That right there shows me that most Christians in America and in the Western world are acting like peasants, which means most Christians in America and in the Western world are not sons and daughters of the true King. Because true sons and daughters know the only way they can be fed is to go straight to God. A priest, a pastor, a worship leader, aside from sounding like the beginning of a really bad joke, but a priest, a pastor, and a worship leader cannot feed you. When the body of Christ comes together, God is there. That's where feeding happens, because everyone is pulling their weight in the body of Christ. Yeah, I want to laugh because I came up with like 3 priest, pastor, worship leader jokes. Not doing it. Nope, not doing it. Okay, so we're getting into this thing, this question that Karen asked, but what does the kingdom look like? And don't miss the next few weeks, because this today is just week one of what the kingdom of God looks like. But how does this happen? How do we recognize that our bread is being given to us on a daily basis? Well, let's look back to Exodus. If we look back to the whole story of Exodus, all of it, what we see is God providing for his people the whole time they are going through the wilderness for 40 years. That is probably the most obvious example. For 40 years, the Israelites traveled through the desert. There were millions of them by the end of this 40 years. Imagine everyone who lived in Cleveland, Youngstown, Warren, Toledo, pretty much all of northern Ohio. Imagine if all of us together were traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land, or from, well, Egypt being Cleveland, Promised Land being New England. Imagine we were doing this. How much food would be needed for all of us? I went online and I checked it out. About all of northern Ohio would equal what the Israelites had traveling out of Egypt. And yet, day in and day out, God sent manna. God took care of his chosen people on a daily basis, even when his chosen people were complaining. He gave them water to drink as needed. He gave them manna every day and quail once, which made people really sick. And I think that's a good thing, because they were complaining about God, and we complain about God all the time. Let's look to Scripture. Let's stop complaining, or we're going to get some stomach cramps. We see all throughout the Scriptures how God provides for his people on a daily basis, and the truth is everyone on earth is being provided for by God every day. Yet most people on earth don't recognize God. And I think a lot of those people who call themselves true believers don't recognize God as well. Most people, everyone on earth has been provided for on a daily basis by our Lord. And can you say that you use what God has provided you with properly? Now, they were told, go out and get one day's worth of manna, and on Saturday or Friday, get 2 days' worth, because you're not going to pick any up Sunday. And so what did they start doing at the beginning? They tried to pack it all in, and they realized the next day it was rotten. It was maggot-filled. They weren't using what God had given them properly. They were trying to abuse it, and I think we abuse what God has given us. Can you even say that you're grateful for what the Lord has provided you with? Amen to that. We see God providing for his chosen people all throughout Scripture, and he told them not to worry about tomorrow. And I think our problem is we don't trust God when it comes to tomorrow. We worry about tomorrow. We agonize about tomorrow. Our anxieties go through the roof when it comes to thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow. And God is telling us, don't worry. I'm going to provide for you, because I've been providing for you all along. And for those who know the story of Exodus, you probably remember all this quarreling and complaining about how it would be so much better for them to have been back in Egypt, where they had shelter, where they had food, and where they had clothing. And yet they seem to forget that when they were in Egypt, they were still slaves. The Israelites were complaining to Moses about how it had been better off for them to be in captivity under the harshness of Pharaoh. When, as they were leaving, the Israelites witnessed all the miracles God had performed. They witnessed the plagues. They witnessed the parting of the Red Sea. They witnessed the destruction of Pharaoh's army as the sea came crashing back down on them. They witnessed manna every day, and yet the Israelites weren't thankful for what God was providing for on a daily basis. The Israelites complained. I ask it again, are you thankful for what the Lord is doing in your life? Do you appreciate what God has provided you with? He's provided you with your family, your friends, your salvation, your knowledge, your job, your clothing, your food, your transportation. Not necessarily in that order. All of which have been provided for you by our Lord. And what I'd like to do this morning is spend some time in prayer. What I'd like us to do this morning is spend some time thanking the Lord, thanking him for everything he's done, letting the Lord know how much we love him and how thankful we are that he has provided for our every need. He's going to continue doing it. We all know, you could lose your job any day. You could lose your family. You could lose your life, your savings at any moment, and yet God keeps providing for you. And even if you did lose everything like Job did, God would still be providing for you. So here's what I'd like us to do. I'd like us to thank the Lord. Spend a few minutes recognizing that you are blessed, that you have your daily bread, and that God is the one who's providing for this for you. So let us seek the Lord and thank the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, you are so good to us. You truly are a good, good Father, and we are loved by you. We thank you that you are providing for us every day. We thank you that you have given us families that are there for us the best they can be. We thank you for the body of Christ that you have given us to help us walk through this life. We thank you, Lord, for the jobs you have given us. Even on days when they are stressful, you have blessed us, Lord, and you are providing every day. Our housing, our clothes, our food, our transportation is all because of you, Lord, and you have blessed us with those, Lord. We thank you. And Lord, I just want to thank you myself for my amazing helpmates you brought into this life and the crazy hyper children you have blessed us with. Lord, I can't imagine life without them. And Lord, I thank you for this body of Christ that you have brought me to. They desire to know you more, and that is apparent. Father, you are amazing and deserving of all of our praise and all of our thanksgiving. Thank you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, what would our lives look like if on a daily basis we just thanked God for what he was providing for us at all times? What if we thanked him during the hard times? Like when Nate or Lydia is running around the house and driving me completely bonkers, and parents out there know what I'm talking about. What if I was just able to sit there and thank God for what they've done or what he has done for me? On days when Karen and I aren't getting along, because come on, no two people can get along well all the time. What if I was just able to say, thank you, Lord, for this wonderful helpmate that you have put in my life instead of arguing with her? Because I like to do that. What if we were able to thank God for everything in our lives? I think our lives would look different. What would our lives look like if instead of complaining about work and our families and the constant pains that we're always having in our backs or our legs or wherever we have them, because I always have back pain. What if we thanked God for all we had every minute of every day? What if we thanked God for the losses, knowing that he has our best interests in mind? And more important than that, knowing that God loves us. What if we thanked God because we are the sons and daughters of the true King? What if we thank God just because he created us? Or even more important, what if we thank God because he died for us while we were yet still sinners because he loves us that much? What if we were thankful, really thankful, each and every one of us? And all that he asks of us is that we submit our entire lives to him, our entire beings. All he asks of us is that we let him use us to fulfill his great commission here on earth and be his hands and feet. What if we were thankful? I bet we would see this starting to happen. We would be the hands and feet in the body of Christ. We would see the Great Commission put out there. I think our lives would be different if we were thankful, but I also think the lives of everyone around us and the whole world would look different as well. And we're not thankful. Because there's something else when we read through the Exodus account that we learn from the Israelites in the wilderness. God told Moses what to tell the Israelites in Leviticus. We read it in Leviticus chapter 23. This is one I wrote down because it's short. Chapter 23, verse 22. And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edges, nor shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. The Israelites were being provided for on a daily basis with food, water, shelter, clothing, everything. And they were told, nah, once they get into the promised land that God has in store for them, not to harvest all the land, but to leave some of it there for the poor and the foreigners to collect. We see two ways in Scripture that God is providing food for his people on a daily basis. We see two ways in Scripture that God is providing for those around us on a daily basis. This first was by sending manna to his people. And the second is by commanding his people to feed the widows, the poor, and the foreigners. We were commanded to feed those who need help. You all know this phrase, we have been blessed to be a blessing. I think many of you have heard that, and many of you have probably said it before. And I have to wonder, are we acting like the Israelites wandering through the wilderness? I'm wondering if we've witnessed God's glory, and yet somehow we've forgotten, and we wish that we could go back and be like the world. So we actually live our lives, and we strive to be like the world on Monday through Saturday. God has blessed us all with calls in our life. Businessmen and women, teachers, nurses, politicians, farmers, truck drivers, definitely stay-at-home parents. We all have this call. God has miraculously blessed you. Not miraculously. He has blessed you with this call in your life. And I have to keep asking, do we realize that our calls are blessings from God? Do we realize that our calls bring about the manna from heaven that God is providing you with on a daily basis? But our calls also bring about the kingdom of God. God has kept you healthy, and he's kept you in that job for a reason. Every one of us knows we're one dumb step away from losing that job at all times, whether it's through a mistake we make, whether it's through layoffs or people falsely accusing us of something. And yet, it is through those jobs that God has provided food for most of us. Are we thankful for the blessings that God has given us? We're just like the Israelites. Most of us complain about our jobs. We complain that the work is too hard, the hours are too long, I'm not getting paid enough, I just want more, more, more. Yet God has put you there for a reason. He blessed you with that job so that you can be a blessing to all those around you. If I treated my job here, my call here, the way some of you treat the jobs you have, I think there would be a lot of people around here who would be discouraged. I think there would be a lot of people around here, if I treated my job the way a lot of people treat their jobs, there'd be people around here who question whether or not I'm called to be a pastor. And in your calls, the question is, how are you acting? Should we start to question your call and the jobs you have because you're not honoring that call? God has blessed you with this. He gives us a call. He gives every one of us a call in our lives to bring about his kingdom here on earth. And if we listen and obey, we will see the fruit of that labor, not just in food or in material things, but also in bringing about the kingdom of heaven here on earth as it is in heaven. So based on this command from Leviticus, we see that part of bringing about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven is by helping out those around us who are less fortunate. This is something that the whole body of believers is supposed to partake in. We're all different parts of the body. Some of us are the hands, the feet, the legs, the head. Someone joked about another part recently. We are all a part of the body, and we all have different roles, but we all have the same call. We are supposed to bring our tithe and our offering. And our offering is something that we bring after the tithe. It's not something you give instead of a tithe. And we're called to bring it not out of a sense of obligation to a church, to a pastor, or to a denomination. We're called to bring it out of a sense of thanksgiving because the Lord has been so good to us. The first generation of the church after Pentecost, we know from scripture that there were thousands of people who came to the Lord. That first day, 3,000. But the first generation of the church brought everything they had and shared amongst one another so that there was no one in need. They helped, they fed, they clothed the widows and the orphans. They helped those who were destitute. And amongst the first generation of believers, there were those who were the equivalent of the white-collar workers, the blue-collared workers, the slaves, and the homeless. And they were all giving everything they had so that no one was in need. They didn't rely on the government to do what they knew they were supposed to do. And we in America totally rely on the government and not God in this area. And yet we see the first generation of the church thriving. People were coming to faith. People were coming to faith because the body of believers was acting how God intended them to act. People were pointing the lost to the Lord. God was blessing his chosen, and they were blessing those. Why did they do it? Well, that's easy. They knew the first century church, just like Moses and the people coming out of Egypt, knew that God was providing for them on a daily basis. God was telling them not to worry about the future. God was telling them not to worry about tomorrow, because God is going to continue to provide for us if we follow him. It's why I love to look at Will Collins' life. I'm just amazed at what he's doing. God told him a little over a year ago to quit his job and start a ministry. God then went on to show him that all Will needed to raise was $18,000 and that God would provide the rest. Will hasn't reached that mark yet, and yet God has continued to provide along the way. And by the way, Will has four children, and yet God has provided. He hasn't missed a house payment. He tithes, and he's probably making $12,000 a year with six people. He tithes faithfully. He has food on his table, clothes on his back, and everyone in his family is blessed. And Will continues to see blessings from the Lord come down on him. Will continues to see these blessings because he stepped out in faith. And I wonder, do we even have a fraction of the faith in God that Will has with our lives? You see, it all goes back to week one of this series. Do you trust God? Do you realize that God, that he is a good, good father? You can't even start to praise him or glorify him if you don't realize that he's a good, good father. You don't really mean your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, if you don't see him as a good, good father. And you can't even ask to give us this day our daily bread if you don't see the Lord as a good, good father. God doesn't want us to walk through this life just going through the motions. God wants us to rely on him with everything we have every day, and that means we bring to him what is his. And more importantly, we thank him for what he has blessed us with, which drives us even more to bring to him what is his. The Lord knows our hearts. He knows if we're truly walking with him or if we're just going through the motions. And the truth is, most of the American church, and really most of the Western church, is just going through the motions. Most of us are acting like peasants. And I've said it before, if all American evangelicals, just the evangelical conservative Christians in America, if we all tithe 10% after paying our mortgage or our rent, so not even 10% of everything, if we all did this, we could end world hunger. There are stats that show it based on how much we make in America, and yet only 2 to 3% of Americans bring a tithe. I don't say these stats over and over again to guilt people into tithing, because tithing's not going to get you into heaven. I say this because I don't think we really know who God is. I say this, another way to put it, we don't know who God is, and we definitely don't appreciate what God has done for us. I don't think we're thankful for what God has done in our lives, and that shows that we don't trust him. We look more like these Israelites who are complaining. They want to go back to Egypt after witnessing the plagues and the parting of the Red Sea, after having the manna dropped down from heaven for 40 years. We look just like them because we want bigger houses, new cars, we want all the restaurants, the high-priced coffee, we want the RVs and the massive retirement accounts. We want the bigger TV and the stuff that the world wants. And what we're doing and desiring all these wants is we're throwing ourselves back into slavery. We're in debt as we strive to have more, more, more. And we are slaves to this thing called materialism. Those who are really thankful for what God has done in their lives, they bring everything they have to the Lord because they know God is providing. But more importantly, it's because they know that God deserves everything we have and not just an hour or so a week. We come into the church and we think we're giving our all, and the Western church just doesn't get it. It's why? Because we're not tithing. 20 to 30,000 children are dying on a daily basis from preventable diseases every day because we're not fully trusting the Lord. We don't care to bring about his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and we are witnessing the ramifications of that. So as we wind down this morning, what I'd like to do is challenge you all to pray one more time. I'd like us to seek the Lord. You know, this is a time when we need, every day we should be on our knees asking the Lord to open our eyes up. We should be asking him, allowing him more importantly, to show us in our lives where we don't trust him. Where don't you trust the Lord? Is it with a family situation? Is it with your job or your finances? Where don't you trust the Lord? So seek him and ask him to make something, to clean something, to break down a wall. But also seek the Lord for a new appreciation of the blessings that he has for you, that he is giving you on a daily basis. Because everything you have right now is a blessing. And then I want us to take it one step further. Ask the Lord to show you what you are supposed to bring to him. We are all called to give everything we have to the Lord. We are all called, that is, those of us who are true followers of the Lord, to bring our tithes and our offerings, because that is how God blesses those who are less fortunate. God is able to bless the widows, orphans, homeless, and single parents because the body of Christ steps up and brings to him what is rightfully his. God uses the body of Christ to bring the good news to a lost and dying world, and the body of Christ is not just the leaders and the missionaries. The body of Christ is the whole body, all those who are true disciples of our Lord. So let's be thankful. Let's seek the Lord. Let's ask him to show us in our lives where we're not trusting him. Let's spend a few moments in prayer. Lord, we come before you today asking that you break down walls that are keeping us from fully trusting in you. We ask that you show us where we lack trust, Lord, where we're holding back from you so that we can be used by you however you want to use us. Lord, we are so thankful that you have given us life and families and jobs and material goods. But we realize that every one of us is more focused on what we can get than on helping those you desire us to help. We thank you, Lord, for our provisions daily of food, clothing, shelter, and transportation. Use us, Lord, to bring about your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Use us, Lord, to bring about your will on earth. Show us, Lord, what you desire of us to bring, whether it's 10% or more, whether it's everything we have, which we're called to do, all because we trust you, Lord, with our all. Thank you, Jesus. Break us of our unbelief. And use us to be a blessing to your kingdom. It's in your wonderful name we pray, Lord. Amen.